Step in Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or by waiting until Wednesday morning to watch us. We are remote. I guess I can tell people the reason that we're recording this remote, even
pulling
though
pulling the curtain back.
Tiny V&A, who's right here. Hi, Tiny V&A. The return of Tiny V&A.
Nope.
The other side. There you go. We're doing it this way is that basically the producers had to break down all of the studio. This is the only part of the studio that's left standing. Because we all got moved to Arlington, and
Is the desk going to Arlington?
No, I'm on the desk. Okay. So the desk is staying, but basically the desk, and that's it. Like, all the cameras are gone. So we had to do them in remote, but that's okay. We power through, and the return. I think people really want the return of Tiny V&A, Moreno.
Yeah.
I think that's
it's the people have been asking for it. I've gotten so many text messages about
where receipts. I need receipts now.
that's for another time. Yeah, it's on his phone. See, but he can't unlock it. The Face ID is all broken on his Android. Anyway, this is your
Android slander will not be tolerated.
Your Wednesday state championship preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for spending a little bit of your day with us. Coming up here in just a moment, 1A Division 2, 1A Division 1, and 2A Division 2 in the UIL Texas High School Football State Championship games. We will preview them from tip to tail. We, of course, will have every episode for you. If you're listening to this, all of them will be in your feed on Monday. But then we will put them out 9:30 every morning on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, etc. We'll play them live to tape, so to speak.
We're going to talk about them from the rooter to the tutor.
From the rooter to the tutor. So we are very, very excited about that. But Matt Stepp, we will start this podcast, as we always do, with your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week presented by Community Coffee. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas High School Football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at Community Coffee. .com. All right, Matt Stepp, your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week. And I had to look this up. Matt Stepp, when is the last time, what is the last year that Alito, Mart, and, oh, who was the third one? It was Alito, Mart, and great.
Oh no.
I had another one. We'll edit this. We won't edit this. Oh, it was Alito, Mart, and Refurio all missed the state championships.
Yeah.
What is the last year that all three of them, Alito, Mart, and Refurio, missed the state championships?
2007.
Matt Stepp, that's correct.
Bam!
That is correct.
Swish!
He nailed it. It's been 2007 since those three programs have all three missed the title game.
The reason why I know this is because 2007, Everman beat Alito in the second round of the playoffs, 24-7. And we made it to the semifinals and lost to Sulphur Springs, which a game you were at Texas Stadium.
Just
shows how old we are.
Correct.
And Alito didn't make it. So I was like, okay, it's most likely this run started when Alito got that three-peat with Jonathan Gray. So
nailed it. So, yes, of course, those three teams.
Impressive V&A or what? Is that good or what, V&A?
Man.
You guys are sick.
A combined 40 state championship appearances for those three programs, but zero this year. So there it is, your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week. All right, the final one of the season. Okay. So we're gonna. If you've never had the Tep and Step state championship experience, which V&A never has, we have four episodes. We're going daily pods. So the idea is basically, perhaps when you're on your way to the stadium, perhaps you're driving in. You're in your little football car.
Yeah.
You're driving.
Don't park at Walmart. Do not park in the Walmart parking lot.
Next episode, we're doing the survival guide. So make sure you remember that. But We want to give you something to listen to get you primed for every day of the state championships. We will kick things off.
We're your pregame show.
We are your pregame show. That's what we want to be. So this is Wednesday. And so we want to give you the preview of all three Wednesday games. Now, the first two games, Matt Stepp won't be there. You got your big boy job.
I do. I'll be at my big fraud god.
You'll be the fraud god. You'll be at your big boy fraud job. God. I will be there. Tiny VNA and I will be there for the six-man state championship game. So let me tell you, we will kick things off 11 a.m. Wednesday morning at AT&T Stadium in Arlington when the Jayton Jaybirds at 14-0 take on the Oakwood Panthers at 9-5, the only five-loss team at the state championships. I would need to go back and look up last time we had a five-loss team in the title game. Oakwood is a rather remarkable state finalist. They came out of Region 3. They started the season 2-5. They lost to Bryan Christian Homeschool in like week 7 to drop to 2-5 on the year.
Noted six-man powerhouse Bryan Christian Homeschool.
And we all literally just was like, okay. They started like 15th in the preseason rankings.
What did they finish in district? I know only two teams go to the playoffs, but
they won their district. They went 3-0 in district play.
14 district, okay. Mm-hmm.
So they finished the regular season 5-5. And then got on a heater. And the real upsets have been the last two. Region 3, I'll just be honest, is probably the weakest region in 1A Division 2. And they got there. They pulled the first real upset when they beat Iredell in the regional final. Iredell, I think, was a co-favorite to come out of Region 3. Ended up edging them out in a very close game. And then the next week, they were playing Oglesby. And I will be honest, I paid zero attention to that semifinal because I presumed Oglesby with Kyler Fawcett and company was just going to smash them. Lo and behold, Oakwood jumps out to an early lead, forces a couple of mistakes from Oglesby and gets them chasing. And Oglesby just couldn't – Oglesby like ran out of time, basically, is what happened. And they end up winning 54-51 in an unforgettable state semifinal. And J.J. Johnson has his – State has his alma mater, Oakwood, in their first six-man state championship game. They played an 11-man state championship game back in 1981, or 1991, I think it was, because it was Craig Way told me that he called that game. They played Memphis in 1991 at Pennington Field, and Craig Way tells me Oakwood went up 14-0 at half, and Memphis scored the final 21 to win the state championship. Wow. They are now in six-man, and so they're a real Cinderella story. They are taking on a team that is decidedly not a Cinderella story. Jayton is on one of those short lists of, like, pedigreed Texas high school football mm-hmm. programs. They're always in the mix. They're always very good.
State basketball champs. They were basketball state champs in boys basketball last year, too. I watched them play.
They're always very good, and Josh Staniland, who I believe is an alum, has gotten them back into a state championship game. This feels, for people in Jayton, this feels like they are returning to where they belong. That's what this feels like. It's like, oh, all is right with the world. Jayton's back in a title game. As far as this particular matchup is concerned, for Jayton, you're going to get a snoot full of Bodie Ham. They're running back, great name.
Hell yeah, Bodie Ham.
He averages nearly 18 yards a carry. They can throw the ball as well as Sean Staniland, their quarterback, the coach's kid, who's been very good as well. Oakwood is going to spread the ball around. They got three guys: Gavin Wilbanks, Dayden Velasquez, and Darian Thomas are the names to know around there that are going to kind of be the tip of the spear. So now's the time where I kind of tell you the quiet part loud. So I've talked with folks in the six-man football world, and Oakwood is perhaps the most unlikely state finalist they have seen ever.
So you talked to Granger?
I talked to Granger. I talked to Cowboy Parks. I talked to some other sources, and Oakwood is a very unlikely state finalist. They entered this game as pretty clear and pretty sizable underdogs. in this game. Jayton is, of the state championship games, I think you can make an argument that Jayton is the clearest favorite.
Sure.
That I think the I think that now they've got a little bit of magic. Obviously, they found a way. They've already pulled two upsets. This would be one of the big upsets in probably state championship history.
Yeah. Do you think the Super Bowl week helps the underdog Oakwood, or do you think it hurts?
That's interesting. Played since in 10 days by the time they take the field. I think that I'll just say this. I think that all of the off the field weirdness of the state championship game probably favor an upset in the sense of like, or probably helps an upset in the sense of like, you got a long week, extra time to prepare. You can get healthy. It's 11 a.m. kick. Who knows if Jayton comes out slow. You know, it's on a big stage. Maybe Jayton gets big eyes. You never know. Jayton's a clear favorite. The computer has Jayton by 31, which is pretty sizable. And the folks that I've talked to said that we are in mercy rule territory here, that sure. It would not be a surprise if this game ended early by the 45 point mercy rule.
And it seems like a lot of the 6-man games have gone mercy rule, right?
We've had a couple in recent past. I believe Benjamin has mercy ruled both their opponents. Gordon won by mercy rule last year. We've had some mercy rules here. Wouldn't be a surprise if we had another one here in the first game. Jayton, I think a pretty clear favorite over Oakwood. Their defense has been very good. Well, didn't even mention that. Their defense has been excellent. So that is the 11 a.m. game. We move to 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock Wednesday. By the way, every other day it goes 11-3-7, but the game is shorter in 6-man football. It can end early. And also, they need an extra hour to scrub the lines from the field, if you didn't know that. So
that's what V&A needs to. Because it was V&A. Were you there last year? Were you at state last year?
No, or I was there. I was at state Thursday through Saturday. Okay. So I'm actually pretty excited to see how the field is set up.
This will be your first 6-man game. Yeah, they're going to wheel out. They're going to wheel out. They're going to paint lines on the field. It's everything shrunk by 20%, and they bring out new field goal posts. It's an interesting watch.
I'm fascinated by the paint removal technology enhancements that have been done.
And they've gotten very good at it. First year was...
It took a while. It took them a little while. And the lines are still kind of there. You can kind of see it. It took a little while for it to fade. Technology has come a long way.
They've streamlined it.
They've got some cool toys to get rid of it, yeah.
We move. 2 o'clock Wednesday afternoon at AT&T Stadium in Arlington is the final 6-man football game of the season, the 1A Division 1 state championship game, the only matchup of unbeatens this year in the state championships, as the 14-0 Whiteface Antelopes make their state championship debut, attempting to dethrone the reigning state champs, the Gordon Longhorns. A moment on Whiteface. Whiteface, if you don't know, Whiteface is west of Lubbock, kind of getting towards New Mexico. And they are an unfamiliar name to the state championship stage with a familiar coach. Clint Lindman is the head coach at Whiteface. That is a name you may remember. He was the head coach at McLean, also in that part of the world. If you remember back in, I believe, 2018, 2019, or 2017, 2018.
Ben Crockett. I remember Ben Crockett.
Ben Crockett. And he was awesome.
he was the first 6-man player that I was like, oh, that guy could definitely play 11-man football.
And this was back in 2018 and 2019. They beat Milford in 2018. They lost to Blum in 2019 in what was a pretty sizable upset at the time. In any case, Clint Lindman has moved to Whiteface, and he's doing that thing again. Taking another team that had never been to a title stage to the state championship game, and he's doing it with a familiar formula. They have a 3,000-yard rusher named Ethan Kaufman, okay? Ethan Kaufman is averaging nearly 15 yards per carry. Ethan Kaufman has run for 65 touchdowns this year.
Seems good.
Serious gravy is Ethan Kaufman. He is V&A's looking at this. The stats in 6-man football are a little wonky because they score a lot. But yeah, he's run for 65 touchdowns this year, and he's been terrific.
I have one little thing to say. Whenever I was making the graphics for the picks video, I was making the 1A graphics, and I was like looking at, you know, whenever there's a little sign that says Road to Arlington, and you look at their last four games, and some of these are like, it's like 100 to 50. I'm like, whoa, okay. This is
they'll get up and down. It's basketball on turf. but I will tell you this. The reason that Gordon is here and the reason that Gordon is a favorite in this game is that they don't let it get to that point. Okay. Gordon's defense has been absolutely ridiculous this year. To wit, let me pull this up. They are allowing, I believe, fewer than 10 points per game this season. Okay. They are, in fact, they have allowed, let me go even further. They have allowed in 14 ball games, they have allowed 84 points. Okay.
That's crazy in six man.
They have played, so they've played 14 games, which means they have played a maximum of, let's see, whatever 14 times four is. Come on, Fraud. God, tell me. They played 56 quarters. They could have played 56 quarters. They have played 31. Okay. They have played 2 third quarters this year. They have played 1 fourth quarter this year, and it was last week against Abbott, who is, I think, considered to be either the second or third best team in six-man football. They are.
What was that score?
That final score was 77-36. That went the distance, but they still beat them so resoundingly.
36 of the 84 points, and it's almost half the points in one game.
Okay. They are ridiculous defensively. And by the way, they can score as well. You may remember Rye Reed, Stryker Reed, the playmakers they've got. This team is low. This team, I'm going to be honest. Like the Jayton and Oakwood game, people have told me that it might be a mismatch simply because Oakwood is a surprise to be here and Jayton has looked really good. This game might be a mismatch for a different reason. And that is Gordon's that dang good. Gordon is approaching like historic levels of good. If they polish this off, and especially if they polish this off in emphatic fashion, six-man folks are going to be talking about this team as one of the all-time dominant six-man football teams. They have been crazy good. So to wit, their defense this year has allowed 3.7 point yards per play. And in six-man football, that's outrageous. That is outrageous because of how offensive-minded it is. I had some stat that they've only run like 15 plays a game because they're scoring so quickly. Guys, they are a juggernaut. Yeah. And that's why I feel like Gordon enters this game. Also having that big stage experience, they enter this game, I think, is a pretty clear favorite. I hate to say this. It would not be a surprise if we had two mercy rule games. But again, that's taking nothing away from Whiteface, who's an excellent football team, 14-0 for a reason. This is a compliment to what Gordon is doing. Mm-hmm. So,
considering Whiteface's proximity to Leveland, will Matt Wilson be in attendance?
I think there's a strong Matt Wilson possibility.
I just looked at it on my map, and I was like, oh, it's just west of Leveland. I bet Matt Wilson will be there.
So
shout out Matt Wilson.
So Gordon and Whiteface will close out the six-man football season. I like Gordon. I think Gordon has a chance to go wire-to-wire number one. And we talked about it last year when they beat Westbrook. It was either going to be the first year of the Gordon dynasty or the last year of the Westbrook dynasty. And this feels like a continuation of the Gordon dynasty. So there you have it. That rounds out six-man football. At that point, they'll scrub the fields. Matt Stepp will arrive from it. He'll clock out of his day job, slide down the dinosaur, and make it to Arlington. That's a reference to the Flintstones, which you're too young to understand, V&A. We then move.
The Flintstones is a great cartoon, V&A.
I'm familiar with the Flintstones.
We move to 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Wednesday night at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It is the Class 2A Division II state championship game between the Munster Hornets and the Shiner Comanches. And Matt Stepp, 11-man football is kicking off with a bang. I love this game.
It's a heck of a matchup. We got, I love cheese. I don't love beer. Cheese versus beer in the state championship game. Who would have thunk it? These are two. It's not just two really good football teams. It's two really unique communities in our state. And I think it's going to be a great crowd Wednesday night. Excited for this matchup. This is a fascinating. And I talked to noted Shiner alum Ray Gates today, the head coach of North Crowley.
He's got to be the most fired up man in America.
He's very fired up, and he will be in attendance Wednesday night to watch. He's got a couple of family members who play. He's like, as soon as practice is over, I'm jetting over to watch my Comanches play. And then apparently there's a bunch of people from Shiner that are going to stay the weekend and come to watch the North Crowley Panthers play on Saturday night.
Man. So
this Texas high school football at its finest right there.
If you don't know, Shiner is much more than just the beer brand. They are also like a big German and Czech like community down there. Not a big one. It's a small one, but like a small town with a lot of German and Czech immigrants. That's originally where they started. And then for Munster is a big German town in North Texas. Not big, but very heavily German.
They have a big Oktoberfest. I know that.
They do have a big Oktoberfest. But the ball game here is absolutely fascinating and a great stylistic clash too from an offensive perspective because what's interesting to me about this game, I think you've got superstar quarterbacks on both sides that both are asked to do a whole different kind of genre of things to help their ball club win. Matt, anything to add?
Sorry, my computer froze on me a little bit there. So, yeah.
Do I say something?
No, chicken in me. Yeah, sorry, my computer. That's one of the joys of recording remotely. Sometimes your computer will freeze up on you. No, obviously, Kasen Carney at Munster and his ability is a dual threat. I mean, you got a stylistic clash because Munster's a little more wide open. They're a little more traditional spread. They're gonna get in those 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. A lot of things in space. Shiner's going to get tight. They're going to be power football for the most part and even go really old school. And they did it last week. They got into some of their veer packages with quarterback Carson Shute. And I believe that's how you say his last name.
Shute.
Sorry, Carson. I didn't mean to butcher your last name there. But, yeah, Carson Shute had a huge game for them. They've got Jarvis Williams and Quincy Wilson in the backfield. So they've got playmakers there for the – I think it's Quincy Wilson, maybe Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones.
I'm just butchering the names here. But they've got playmakers as well. The money matchup for me was the Munster offense against the Shiner defense. Shiner's defense up until last week had been pretty much nails. And they got touched up last week by Bremond. And that's a little bit of a concern going into this game because Bremond, very athletic and speedy at the skill positions, and that's exactly what Munster is. And I think that's a little bit of a matchup concern when you look at this game because Munster's probably going to be the most athletic team Shiner's played this year.
Totally agree. And for Munster, they can run the ball too with Nolan Peel. And I love their defense too. Tate Sampson leads what has been a very good Hornets defense, which should make this really fun. You're exactly right. Like if you want to see a team that will line up at first and 10 and run a quarterback sneak for like 7 yards because the center's uncovered, Shiner will do that on you.
They will bust out a first and 10 QB sneak on you. In a heartbeat.
It is ground and pound. They are a physical ball club. There's a great, like, I think this is a real, for small school football where like the average weight out there is going to be like 170. Like these teams are going to get after it though. They are going to be very physical. I love the coaching matchup. You have two state champion coaches.
Yeah. Here,
and Daniel Bedeker there at Shiner, going up against Brady Carney at Munster. There's a great chess match to be had there. And also, like, if I remember correctly, Brady Carney's an offensive guy going up against a defensive mastermind there in Daniel Bedeker, or Bedeker rather. I love this game. This is a terrific way to open things up.
Yeah.
I've gone back and forth. I lean to Munster. I think that their explosiveness probably gives them an edge in this one. But this is, I mean, if you come to me and say, I like Shiner, I'm like, yeah, me too.
I think your path to victory for Shiner is going to be ball control, keep Munster's offense off the field, limit the possessions, just keep that off. The best offense is there. The best defense is Shiner's offense here. I think Shiner's going to run the play clock down to one, mm-hmm. not one, but they're going to run it under five. They're going to ground and pound. I think Shiner's going to go forward on fourth. I think Shiner's looking at every set of downs as we got four plays to get 10 yards. Mm-hmm. And a three-yard run is not a bad thing. We get that four times, first down. And I think that's the attitude that Shiner's going to have is they're going to try to ground and pound this thing, sustain drives, run the play clock, and really try to shorten this game to keep that explosive Munster offense off the field. And then you got to hope, okay, let's see if our defense can get a stop. Munster makes a penalty, gets off schedule. We can get them off the field. I mean, that's the game plan. If you don't want to get in a track meet with Munster, no. You're not going to win that track meet.
Another name to know here. We mentioned Carson Schutte. They don't throw a ton, but Bo Bame on the outside is a 6'1 receiver. And at the 2A Division II level, he's towering over people.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't be surprised. If they throw it, I believe it's number 5. Bo Bame could be a game breaker in this one for Shiner whenever they pull, because this is needless to say, Munster's going to load the box. They should. Yeah,
they're going to put 7-8 guys in the box. Mm-hmm. Shiner, when they're really rolling, they always have one guy that they can throw to. And mm-hmm. and when they do throw it, they're typically very effective. So I think this is a great small school matchup. I'm really fired up for this game Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. I think these are clearly, in my opinion, the two best teams in Division II. We're going to decide it on the field. I love it.
It's terrific. There's a couple of games like that where it's like these are very clearly the two best teams, and this is one of them. Absolutely box office. Craig Way and I are going to be on the call. I'm fired up about that.
Awesome.
So it'll be a lot of fun. So that will close out Wednesday night, and we will all go home to our football beds,
mm-hmm.
Put on our football pajamas. With a trap door. I'm going to FaceTime VNA and just say, VNA, I got home okay. And she's going to say, okay.
See you in 6 hours.
Yeah. Put in your, what do you call it? The thing that you put into, to like your mouth
your
guard.
Night guard.
Your night guard. Put in your night guard, old man. and I will. And that will lead us to Thursday. But that is a story for another podcast. Thanks for spending a little bit of your day with us. Steph, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you in the Thursday podcast on Tep and Steph.